Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud podcast. Instructional coaches and leaders create the environment that supports teachers to continually imagine, grow, and achieve. They model an excitement for learning that teachers in turn model for students. This podcast is dedicated to promoting the important aspects of instructional leadership. Thanks for listening. Mindsets to Explore from the Start of School, Part 2. In Part 1 in this series, Corey Camp from SIBME Coach Replay and I discussed reframing our thinking from a focus on hating learning loss to a love of being back with students. We discussed ways that teachers can connect more like an ecosystem rather than working on an assembly line. As we concluded, we discussed an acorn approach. Let's pick it back up there.
Now, I want to go back to what you said about the teacher being committed for kind of that full 3 years, right, at minimum. Because I think that leads us into your next tip for reframing, and that's long-term versus short-term.
Yeah.
This is that acorn conversation, which was really interesting to me. I was like, oh, I've got to learn more about this acorn idea.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Sam Chowtain, his example for this part was what he called the acorn brain versus the marshmallow brain.
Yes. Okay,
so and there's a great video clip that's in the resources you put together for folks. So I hope they go get it. It's about a 2.5 minute video that'll walk you through it. But the marshmallow brain goes back to the marshmallow experiments with the 3-year-old kids who were so short-term, they couldn't wait the 10 minutes and get 2 marshmallows instead of one. They had the one versus valuing planting an acorn. And he connects it to a book. I just jotted down the author's name, Krasnowski, wrote a book called The Good Ancestor. And it identifies where in some of the in native cultures they talk about thinking 7 generations out. So if you're making a decision now, what would people 7 generations think when they reflect back on that decision that you made now? So that's what it meant to be a good ancestor. And as I looked at that part, it pulled me back to, and I think it's something we continually struggle with in schools, is that short-term versus long-term.
Right.
So it really clicked. I was working with a school district in New Jersey where kids were coming back to school July 1 for summer school. That was their first time back in the building from the previous year March. So from a year ago March all the way to July, the kids hadn't been in school. And they got a 6-week summer program. And I was getting a chance to work with some of the administrators, curriculum, and coaches meeting the teachers. I said, well, where do you want the teacher's head to be? You know, do you really want to be thinking about what impact you can have on a child's math skills in this 6-week period? Or do you want to be thinking about this child at graduation, this child post-secondary? So not that the math doesn't play a part.
Right.
But if you're trying to decide, can I take the time for the social emotional? Can I take the time for the student to build these life skills?
Creativity, collaboration, communication skills, yes.
So those things can never be important if you're thinking short term, because fortunately we aren't testing creativity. When we do, it'll probably be the end of creativity.
Very true.
But all those things that aren't being tested are have got that longer term focus.
Right.
So how do I engage people in conversations where as a teacher I'm making decisions longer term? And again, I'm not overlooking the academics and the content, but I understand how it fits in rather than this immediate thing trumps everything else that's on the agenda.
Right. And I think that really does involve a mental or a mindset shift. And again, it's a, you know, we've got to reframe our questions. We've got to reframe how we look at designing learning experiences for our students.
And for our teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. You bring up a really great point. I was talking with an assistant superintendent who we were talking a little bit about project-based learning and how in their district, you know, they introduced it a few years ago and it just hasn't risen to the levels they were hoping it would. And they think they just emphasized, you know, the product so much more than, you know, the process of it. And they were in communication with other kind of collaborative group of schools, innovative schools that they're working with. And he's, you know, something that another smaller school just kind of said to us was, well, if you want your teachers to be doing project-based learning, you want everyone to be doing this, how does your professional learning exactly. You know, model that? And they were like, oh, gut punch, you know? So, and really, like, we do have to think about for our teachers, for our professional learning, as we are looking at mapping out our PD days and the specific things that will happen, how we facilitate team meetings, how we facilitate our staff meetings. Are we looking at these long-term pieces over those short-term pieces? That means, are we giving them opportunities to focus on love versus fear? Are we giving them opportunities to collaborate as an ecosystem, right? Rather than an assembly line. So I'm feeling it. I'm just seeing how all these things are just so intertwined together.
You know, think about a district, you know, they've got two PD days in the calendar and they're mm-hmm. trying to plan something that the teachers are going to experience in this one day and see something different back in the classroom tomorrow. That, you know, when I teach for short term, I generally get short term learning. Right. So yeah, now I can check it off the box that the kid passed the end of the unit test. But that's why my conversation with next year's teacher is so important, because mm-hmm. we didn't plan the experiences that brought about the real long term change. So mm-hmm. that's exactly where we got to be for the teachers as well.
Yeah. Now I want to shift into the fourth reframing that you have here for us. And I really love this part of your blog and dug it more into some of the links that you shared. So talk to us a little bit about valuing our proximity to learners.
I first found Nivia Avashia's, I first found her on Twitter. And she had just a small piece that she put in on Twitter that the people who were making the decisions about how to go back to school weren't talking to any kids. Yeah. And she's a high school civics teacher in Boston. And she described that when the quarantine first hit and we had that March to June, she said, I can tell you that what I did with my kids was terrible. And she said, once I realized that September was going to come and we weren't going to be back in school again, I know the only thing I could do was turn to my kids. Mm-hmm. So it was mm-hmm. about going to my kids and identifying what worked and what didn't work, and mm-hmm. and where do we go from here? Yeah. And she writes quite a bit about how if you listen to the voices of the kids, they'll let you know what it is that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So then she connected it to the Just Mercy book, and I got a chance to pull the movie up and watch it. And the Just Mercy is about an attorney who is representing minority poverty folks on death row who didn't get the justice that they should have gotten. And he writes that it's about proximity. You have to get into the lives of the people. And if you see the movie, he goes and meets all their family members and everything as he's putting his case together to represent them. And Anivia says that's where we've got to be with kids. So as I got thinking about that, I wondered to what extent that the quarantine actually got some of us in closer proximity to our kids. So teachers were suddenly inside kids' homes. Mm-hmm. seeing what their study space looked like, seeing in some cases commotion, or they were inside homes where the parents sat next to the first grader and assisted them all the way through the process.
Right. Right. Okay.
Well, now both those kids are back in school. And the question is, am I looking at those kids the same way? Or am I remembering my proximity of the difference of what those two students are experiencing? Mm-hmm. I know that in many cases, empathy tremendously increased during the virtual time. Teachers became much more empathetic of their students. They requested much more feedback from their students. So they would teach something and then they would ask the kids, how did that go? And what could I do to make it better? Many teachers told me how much more empathetic their administrators were than they were used to. And so I want to take everybody back to, now that we're back in the building, are we going to lose those things? Or are we going to value the proximity and keep pushing it?
Yeah.
And one last connecting piece for me, in many school districts, communications with families tremendously increased.
I was just about to say that.
During the quarantine.
So, I was just about to bring up family.
Are we going to shut everybody down now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I very early on, I worked at some schools and they said, wow, you know, we started doing parent conferences and both parents are there on Zoom. You know, one's at work, one's at home, or they're both at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they both zoomed in because they picked the time to zoom in. And we didn't have to do all the conferences on one afternoon that we sent the kids home early.
We
could spread them out.
Matter of fact,
I could go home and make dinner for my own kids and then take time to have a conference. So that whole proximity thing, I think we learned a lot from it. Mm-hmm. And what do we do to keep it?
Yeah. And you bring up a valuable point around that family engagement and having more student engagement. You know, something that I'm hearing from a lot of schools internally is we're going to keep some of our meetings, you know, virtual or virtual options for some of our kind of staff meetings. You know, maybe we aren't coming into the same room. They still want that because there's value in that. But, you know, I've also heard some who've said, you know, our ARDs, our 504s, some of our, like, we now know that we can offer a Zoom in option as opposed to the parent taking a whole half of a day to be able to come drive in and be here physically. So looking at just what are some of those things that we can continue from the our last year and a half together that still fit well within this, so we can keep that proximity, right?
There's another piece of proximity that I didn't mention, and that's the reverse. Many parents got to see teachers teach.
Yes. Yeah. And that was either really exciting and enlightening or had some other effects.
Many parents had empathy for teachers.
Yeah. Yeah,
which was an important piece.
Yeah, I think we just were all so much connected, so much more connected. And as you were talking, especially about the student voice piece, it made me go back to that ecosystem. And, you know, just as a reminder, our students are a part of that ecosystem. They are valuable members of that ecosystem. And so how are we connecting and collaborating with our students to continue to cultivate that ecosystem? I think that's so valuable.
A Margaret Wheatley phrase, the greater the diversity and quality of relationships within an organization, the easier it can deal with change thrust upon it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about an ecosystem that's very limited in diversity, if you pull the food group out, the whole ecosystem crashes.
Right.
But in a very diverse ecosystem, you pull a food group out, everything can shift and adjust to deal with the issue. So if you think about putting all four of these items together, what you're doing is creating that rich ecosystem driven by love, driven by relationships, driven by communication because of the proximity. And that's the organization that can deal with change thrust upon it from the outside. Mm-hmm. And as schools, we're continually going to deal with change thrust upon us from the outside. I mean, you watch the news every day now, you know, opening school can be a week away and we still don't know what we're going to be dealing with. Right. What announcement the governor's going to make, what the Delta variant's going to toss into to the mix. And, mm-hmm. and so the stronger we build that ecosystem, the better we can handle whatever it is that we're going to have to face.
Absolutely. And, you know, it kind of reminds me around this idea of change resilience. One of my favorite quotes from Julie Wilson at the Institute of Learning, she talks about, you know, our leadership work and our work in kind of school reform transformation should be less about how do I manage the resistance to change and more about shifting mindsets to how do I build change resilience, right? And so I think ecosystems, this ecosystem mentality is definitely a part of that. So many connections.
And thinking longer term, that allows you to breathe and build the ecosystem.
Right. Acorn, not a marshmallow.
That's right. You're gobbling up the, you know, there's 15 minutes on the clock this period and I have to use it to get this math problem in. Mm-hmm. When I walked all over how the kids walked in today. Longer term means I'm got the capability of keeping both things on the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is big. This is big for coaches. In my mind, it says a lot of listening by the coaches so they can first identify what are the mindsets that teachers are working from, mm-hmm. and then being able to introduce these other mindsets.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I want to point out something. We've got one of our viewers, Kathy Renfrew. She's been a guest on the Coach Replay show before. Says, you know, it's about finding the assets, looking for the good things we want to bring back into our building the network and the ecosystems. You know, it's an opportunity for us to rebuild, to create new bridges, I think, across some of our teams who haven't collaborated together as much.
I'm seeing it as an exciting time. I mean, I've been sharing with folks.
I know you were talking about retiring. I'm so glad you didn't.
There's no way. There's no way. I think the next 3 to 5 years are so exciting with potential.
Yeah.
You know, the technology piece being one, the realization, the strengths that I think in many ways we really discovered how strong educators are when you think about what teachers do and how strong and resilient kids are, what kids learn and parents. I mean, the strengths, many of the strengths of the ecosystem shone brightly.
Yeah.
And now let's capture them and not cover them back up to go back to something that existed before.
Resources mentioned in our conversation are in the lead in to this podcast. This is a powerful time for coaching and for coaches. How will you support teachers in examining the strengths that they, their students, and parents showed during the past year plus? What coaching skills did you gain as an instructional leader? I know it's been a big learning year for me, so I encourage you to consider how we celebrate all the learning that's occurred and how we go further. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.